Good morning to y'all. It's good to be in your services here again today. I feel a little like I'm not all here. And that's okay. It's just part of life, I suppose. I feel kind of out of the groove of preaching as well. Bible school is a wonderful opportunity to just kind of kick into neutral, and I've discovered that when I kick into neutral, then there's nothing there ready to just come out in the keyboard when I sit down to start to type. And anyway, so we are enjoying Bible school, but I hope that it doesn't make you all suffer here this morning. And had a few ideas of what maybe I could share, and just didn't seem to go. And then a brother from over there, we were talking, and he put me on a little word trail. I don't know if he actually did it on purpose, but I viewed it as an inspiration that God gave me through another person. And so if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, very familiar verse, one that we just read right over, and we've heard school devotions on it ever since we can probably remember. We've probably heard different people talk about this verse so often that we almost forget what it even says. And anyway, the verse is verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we'll read that verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, we know that verse. And the word that we're going to look at this morning is the word approved. There's some interesting things about this word. I don't know that I've ever actually preached a word study. I enjoy word studies. And so I'm not sure that I've ever done this, though. But we're going to read a lot of scripture. And that's another thing that I've done this morning that I've never done before is printed out verses to use. So we won't be turning to every verse. So if I look a little disorganized, bear with me. I try to be as organized as possible. But 2 Timothy 2:15, we all want to be approved of God, don't we? Here we have Paul writing to Timothy saying, study. The word study there probably means more to make it your aim or to make it your goal to be approved of God. That is what you should make your life about. And so we take that verse for ourselves. We want to be that way. We want to be approved of God. We want to be able to stand before God and not have to be ashamed of what we've done with our lives. And we also want to be able to take the word of truth and to do with it what God wants us to do with it. This is His will. We believe that the word of God is His revealed will to us. And we want to take it and use it in a way that we grow and we become approved. We're living a life that God can bless. So what about this word approved? And if you want a title, if you're taking notes and want a title, I just used approved unto God. This word approved shows up in the New Testament about 8 times. It is the Greek number is 1384. And I'm not a Greek scholar. I think you pronounce the word dokimos or something like that, D-O-K-I-M-O-S. And it's an adjective that means to be accepted, and it has the idea particularly of money. And one writer says something like this. Listen to this explanation. In the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today, and no paper money. All money was made from metal, heated until liquid, poured into molds, and allowed to cool. When the coins were cooled, it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges. The coins were comparatively soft, and of course many people shaved them closely. In one century, and I didn't fact check this, so if you know something different, tell me about it, but this was what this writer said. In one century, more than 80 laws were passed in Athens just to try to stop the practice of whittling down coins lower than what the value should have been. But there were some money changers were men of integrity who would accept no counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put only genuine, full-weight money into circulation. Such men were called, this Greek word, dokimos, I think is how you say it, dokimos, anyway. And this word is used here for the Christian as he is to be seen by the world. So what we have here is this concept of approval being up to the grade, 100% genuine. Maybe another word we could use for that is to be people or to be things of integrity. It is what it is, and it is what it's supposed to be. Another definition that the Bible could use there is accepted or pleasing or acceptable. And so where is this word used? I would like to just spend some time looking at some of these references. If you want to turn to them, you may. I'm probably going to read them off of the paper that I have printed out here, so I won't take the time to turn to them, and I might be ahead of you. So if you want to just write them down and look them up, that's fine. But in Romans 14, verse 18, this is the first usage of this word, and it's used as approved. And it says this, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." It would probably be good to turn to that, but if you would turn to that and look at verse 17, and all of Romans 14 is talking about what we allow in our lives and how that affects other people and what we may do and what we may not do as far as our conscience and another person's conscience and how to relate to that whole weak and strong Christian. And verse 17 mentions that the most important things are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it seems to be that what we're learning here is that if we have those things in the service of Christ, then we will be approved of God and men, that there will be no fault to be found, that God's stamp of approval will be on that. We will be people of integrity. We're living up to the standard of God, and in that we are not offending anybody else. What more could we want? What an amazing concept to be so without blame. Now, I'm going to skip over some of the usages of this word. For example, in Romans 16, verse 10, it's interesting that Paul would say this, but he says that we're to salute Apelles, approved, and that's the word, approved, the same word approved unto God, the same word that we are approved of men in Romans 14, it's the same word. And so this person, whoever it was that he was telling them to salute or to greet, was approved in Christ. And just make a comment on that. It would be, probably all of us would desire that that would be our reputation. Not just the reality of our lives, but that it would be so true that I could actually write a letter about one of you and say, this brother is approved in Christ. He is where he ought to be. What a blessing. And I want that to be able to be said about my life, and I hope that we're all there. In 1 Corinthians 11, in the context of how to eat at the Lord's table, there's an interesting verse there. I want you to, let's turn to that one. That one would be worth turning to, I think. Again, we're focusing on the approval here. We're going to start reading at verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not." He was talking about how they were, let's just keep reading. "That ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved," and there's that word approved that we're talking about, "may be made manifest among you." It seems that Paul is saying here that there's an interesting thing that happens when there's divisions and false things going on in a church, and that is that it is one way that the genuine come to light. It's made manifest. We talked about it, Brother Jeff mentioned it in his devotion, sometimes it's easy to kind of just cover things up. But when tests hit, when the division, the things that come that make things a little difficult, then the genuine really begin to shine. And that's when we can see what is approved of God. What is it? It's a totally interesting thing to think about. I wonder if there's more there than I'm even grasping. Probably is. But again, the emphasis would be on being the genuine, because which one of us want to come to light as being the fake or not being up to what we ought to be? That's the other side of that coin, as it were. 2 Corinthians 10:18 is another usage of that. And this passage has to do with Paul defending his apostleship. And he says to the Corinthians, For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Now, how do we know if the Lord is commending someone or not? We'll probably get to that just a little bit later. But it actually, to me, it ties back into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where we started from. The only way that we're going to know who the Lord is commending is if we know what God wants. And then that person, by the fruit of his life, will show that he is, that God is approving of him. Another usage of this word is found in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 7. We're going to hold on to that verse until a little bit later, because there's another word that we're going to look at that is found in 2 Corinthians 13 that is the opposite of what we're talking about here. And then the last usage of this word is actually translated tried. There's a different context or a little different flavor to the word. And that's in James chapter 1, verse 12. James says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried," and that word tried is the word approved. And what we're learning here is that in times of temptation, it is, for the lack of a better way to say it, it is giving us a chance to show ourselves worthy. Isn't that a strange way to say it? But isn't that really the way it is? Isn't that what we even do sometimes with our children? We're not sure if they're ready for a test, but we let them face the test anyway. And they either come through or they don't. And then either they are approved or they're not approved. And so that's what happens. And then he goes on and says that when we're tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so we have God actually taking us under the test, as it were, checking our integrity, seeing how we are. And of course, he knows all of those things, but sometimes it seems like God limits himself to the present to see how we're going to respond. Can I get away with saying that? I kind of think that's what he does sometimes, and that's the only way I can really make sense of some of those things where he repents in the Old Testament. Anyway, that's a side note there. Now, what I would like to do is look at the verb form of that. We've been looking at the adjective form of this word. When you go to the verb form, and I'm really scared to pronounce this one, but I think it's dokimazo or something like that. It means the activity of testing. It's not necessarily the state of being accepted. It is the testing or the examining or the scrutinizing of what we do to see whether something is genuine or not. Now, this word is used a lot, and we won't look at nearly all of those passages. But it is interesting that there's a number of things that we are asked to test. And instead of going through verse by verse, I tried to lump some of these things together so that we could look at them more as categories or of points of things that we should test. The most popular verse, or the most familiar one that we could turn to, would be in 1 Corinthians, and you could turn there if you wish. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things. There's the verb form, the word prove all things. And so I take from that God is asking us, we have a responsibility as God's people to see what it is that God approves of. And we have tools to use, so we're not totally in the dark. But this thought comes out in our Sunday school. I heard this thought that what we tend to do is not care so much about what God thinks. We want to know what people that actually can put some physical influence on us think. And that's what's more important. But here Paul is saying that we need to prove all things. And so point number one on what should we, what are we responsible to test or to prove is all things. Now, there's some other verses that use this word, and I'll just read those to you. Romans 14, verse 22. Again, this is in the context of living in light of our conscience and God and the conscience of other people. The word is translated alloweth. He says, "Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth." And so there you get the idea that when a person puts something to the test and he decides that it's okay, that he needs to be careful that he's not going to actually bring condemnation to himself. But that word would fall under the category of proving all things. We need to do that. Philippians 1, verse 10 also says that we may approve, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So what we're learning here is from 1 Thessalonians 5, it says to prove all things and hold fast the things which are good. Philippians says that we're to prove things, approve things, that we may be without offense. And then Romans 14 also gives us the idea that we need to be approving things, allowing things that don't bring condemnation. All right, so all things. What are all things? What are the things we're talking about? It's sometimes we think this just, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems like we only want to do this to things like maybe dress trends or something. So we look at a dress trend and we say, well, we need to prove this. We need to decide where this is going to take us. We need to decide if this is what God wants. Well, I think that's good and right. But I wonder sometimes if the all things don't really mean all things. If we shouldn't be running these decisions that we have to make about life, the purchases that we have to make, the trucks that we drive, the houses that we build, the clothes that we wear, the people we associate with, all of those things have the potential to bring condemnation to us. They have, I believe, they have eternal implications of what is driving these things. And will something that is what we call amoral actually have a moral effect? I think it will, eventually, somehow. And we can duck behind the argument that it all depends on our heart, and maybe it does, but sometimes we create appetites by what we allow. And so we have to really, to me it looks like a difficult job to constantly be proving all things. Now, 1 Thessalonians and Philippians would tell us that there are things that are good and excellent. And so there is a way to live. There is a way to put things to the test and to make choices that are right and hold fast to the things that are good. So it's not like we're living here where everything's bad. I just think sometimes I don't focus on what God might want me to focus on. Another interesting thing that we're supposed to watch for is found in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. We were in 1 Corinthians 11 a little while ago, talking about the heresies. But here, we use this verse at council meeting time, but let a man examine himself. That word examine turns the focus to us. We're actually supposed to do this to ourselves. We're supposed to see if we are matching what God wants. And again, we're operating on the assumption that we're familiar with what God wants. We have to know what God wants, or this won't even work. It can become anything. But I believe I'm speaking to a group of people who are familiar with the Bible as God's will. So we're to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 5 through 7, give us some interesting things to think about. He goes on and says that we are to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That word prove is the same word that we're talking about. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now, that word reprobate, we'll get to a little bit later, but I'll just introduce it now, is actually the total opposite of being accepted. It's the opposite of dokimos. It's adokimos. It's the opposite of that. And so whenever Paul writes this, we're to prove, we're to test ourselves so that we're not unpleasing or displeasing, unaccepted. And then he goes on in verse 6, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Again, the same word. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved. Now that word is the approved that we had been talking about. And that ye should do which is honest, though we be as reprobates. So we have those words being opposites, and we'll get to that opposite thing just a little bit. Another thing that we're expected to test is our own work. Galatians 6, verse 4 says this, but let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I'm not sure what all to make of that verse, but again, using the idea of testing things to be up to God's standards, we need to be looking at our own lives, our own ways, our own obedience to His standards, and are we coming up to it or aren't we? Another interesting twist to this is it's really interesting how these things come together when you look for the word, but in Romans 12, verse 2, popular verse again, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. There you're, again, putting to the test, or you're actually showing by testing it what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm learning here that one of the things that we are to be testing, if I may use that word, or proving, is the will of God. Ephesians 5, verse 10 would say something similar. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that we are to try the spirits. We are to test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. We talked about that in Sunday school as well. There's many voices that will tell us something that sounds kind of right, and it sounds kind of easy, and it sounds kind of popular, and we fall for it because maybe we're not familiar with what God has in His Word. So we need to be careful. Now, those are some things that we are told to put to the test. Now, God also uses this word to put some things about us to the test. The most common verses for that would be 1 Corinthians 3:13, where God says that our work is going to be tried by fire. Okay, God is going to try our work too. It's interesting how God gives us the tools so that we can sort of, on His standard, we can come up with a really good idea. I say come up with. We can know really well what God expects of us. And then He lets us go. And then He says, all right, at the end, I'm going to actually try your work and see how well you did with what I gave you. That's how I see that verse, 1 Corinthians 3:13. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try. That word try is the word test that we're talking about. Every man's work, of what sort it is. 1 Peter 1:7 also uses that word, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Here God is, what I'm seeing in these verses is that God expects us to try some things, but then He will try us. He will test us to see if we are up to His standards. And he's given us His standards, so we're not without an excuse. This is, we are without excuse. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, uses this word of the verb form of trying. He says, But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Here we see God tries our hearts. He tries, I believe that would mean that he is trying our motives and our purpose. Again, I could probably pull some pretty good facades. I could probably get away with that for a long time. You can train dogs to jump through hoops, and you can train people to do the same thing. And so I could probably fit with what is expected of me, but this verse tells me that God at the end is going to show whether I'm pleasing men or whether I'm pleasing God. And it's a sobering thought that God is going to try our hearts. He's going to try everything all the way down. Another form of this word, I've already alluded to it, is the opposite of it, the adokimos, which is an adjective that means not standing the test, not approved, something that is unfit. And the most common translation of this is reprobate. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, if we would, this verse is interesting. I want you to look at this one. Go to that one, if you would. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. This is a pretty common verse. We read it, and we don't want anything to do with it, and that's right. We shouldn't. But I want you to notice in the first part of this, this word, the very first word we looked at, the word that we are supposed to be, the word that means approved unto God, is actually the word that we were just looking at, the verb form that means to put to the test, that word is used in Romans 1:28 where it says they did not like to retain. And then it goes on and says that since they didn't do that, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That word reprobate is the opposite of standing up to God's standards. Y'all with me? It's like a coin that isn't measuring up. That word reprobate is what that means. And so if we would somehow try to put the definition into this, it would read something like that. And even as they did not recognize or try the true and worthy things of God in their knowledge, God deemed them unfit. Something like that. It's a little cumbersome to do it that way, but that's kind of what it would lead. And so the consequence, what happens, the point I'm making here is what happens when we don't want to go through the work of putting things to the test. We're going to end up adokimos. We're going to end up not approved. We're going to end up as reprobate, worthless. And so, if we don't want to go through all the work of proving all things, I guess that's okay. But we need to remember what's going to happen if we do. If we want to be approved unto God, we must prove the things of God. 2 Corinthians 13, I already read those verses to you, but I'm just going to refer to them again. He uses the word of testing and reprobate against each other. In the same context there. A couple of other places where that word is used, I'll just give you the references. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, Paul says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That castaway word comes from the same Greek word that's translated reprobates in Romans 1:28. 2 Timothy 3:8 talks about Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and he says there's men that will resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, they are reprobate concerning the faith. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. It's the same word that's used over and over. Hebrews 6:8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. That word rejected is the same word and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So what we see there is that the end result of not showing ourselves approved unto God, the end result of not putting all of these things to the test, we end up as being cast away good for nothing in the kingdom of God. And I didn't make that up, because if I wanted to preach something that was easy, I would say it doesn't matter, but it really does matter. I'd like to close with just a few practical conclusions and considerations. To properly test and know what is approved unto God, we need to know God's mind. And I believe this is a Bible. I believe we have to have a biblical basis for everything that we do. And again, let's not try to focus so much on church administration, because so many times that's what we want to do. We want to, at least, maybe this is just me, but that's what we want to do. We want to talk about, well, as a church, we need to have a Bible basis. Well, as an individual, we need to have a Bible basis, because the church is made of individuals. And if we as individuals, and that's my next point, that testing and proving the will of God, what is acceptable to God, needs to be an individual activity, not an individualistic activity. There's a difference. When we put the IST on the end, it boxes the word in and makes it a different word. But each of us, in our walk with God and in our Bible study and in our choices, every choice that we make, we have to be running this test. What is it that God wants out of us? And right along with that, the statement that I just made kind of assumes it, but we have to be willing to adjust to what the Bible teaches. And then we run the risk of being branded with some word. But I want to be branded with the word approved in God's eyes, not what you might brand me with. I believe that testing, I already said this, it should be an individual activity, but I believe it should be collective as well. I believe that God has designed a group called the church. And we do need to, as a brotherhood, we need to talk about what God is accepting and isn't accepting. The body is for the edifying of the members, and so we can't just go off on our own, but we do need to wrestle with God collectively. The last thing I would like to just say here is that we either approve and test all things so that we can be approved by the testing from God, or we will just go with whatever feels good and right and then find ourselves not approved by God. We've been saying that all along, but I just want to cap with that, that it's really not rocket science. It's really pretty plain. We either do this or we don't do this, and then we get to pick where we're going to end up. I hope that the study of this word has done for you what it did for me. I'm glad, as we study the old prophets, I'm glad that God's mercy is evident in judgment, and that we still have time. We still have some time here. And if there's something that I need to adjust in my life, God's given me another day. And he's given you another day. And one of the things that I thought about preaching about when I saw what date it was, February the 14th, was something about the love of God. But isn't the love of God wrapped all around what we just talked about? He loves people so much that he says, here's what I want out of you, and I'm going to give you time. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to actually let you go maybe wrong for a little bit, but I'm going to keep working with you to bring you back. And I'm just so thankful for that. So let's be approved. Let's prove all things so that we may be approved and not end up as a castaway. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for giving Jesus. Thank you for the examples that we have in your word of how you work with people and how you work with us. Lord, just thank you for making your will plain to us in many ways, and in many ways we, in our weakness, we don't want to take the way that you've shown us. So give us courage to do that, make right choices, to prove all things, to be approved of you. Father, just bless each one here this morning. Bless this congregation here in Pensacola. Give them the tools that they need to be workers in your kingdom. Bless them with grace, courage for each day. We pray for all that have met this morning in worship. Would you bless each person? Just go with us, Lord. Help us to put into practice what you've shown us in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.